B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think I just have to do a way better job of holding us to the standard at which we need to play. It's not about who's playing. It's not about who's in the game, who starts the game, who comes in the game. It's just we just have to play to a better standard for the full four quarters, and that's on coaching to me.
Hey, Brad Stevens through the bouncing ball says, I got to hold these guys to a higher standard. That's on coaching. Does that mean he's about to get tough?
I think he's doing what Tommy wanted someone to do the other day. He's showing humility.
Point the finger at himself.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Someone's going to step up and say, no, it's on me because the players are incapable of it.
Okay, so, but fine.
Yes, I hope so. To answer your question, yeah. I hope so. I hope this is his way of saying, look, you know, if you're not doing the job, I'm pulling your ass off the floor and I'm sticking someone else in there. I think my guess is that Stevens needs to be a little bit more direct and blunt with his players with regard to that.
Okay, one more.
No, I just think it's time. They're not getting it.
One more final Celtics take, and then we'll mix in your calls, C's and Bruins, and then we have some Red Sox coming up this hour as well. Marcus Morris went on his thing the other day, and then Marcus Smart commented on it yesterday. And Marcus Smart said we knew exactly what Morris meant because we all felt the same thing. And he basically co-signed on Morris's comments that it was cool that he said it, glad that he said it, and gave the full endorsement. And then Horford was quoted in another story in the Herald. And then what stood out to you, Maz?
Okay, so again, in the wake of Morris's comments, the two guys that I saw responding to it today were Smart and Horford, who are both basically veteran guys that are on the same side of the room, metaphorically, that Morris is on. Where was Brown? Where was Rozier? Where was Tatum?
Have we heard from these guys in the last
Not that I've seen. Again, so I found that part curious, that the people that defended Morris's comments were the guys that we already knew that were aligned with Morris. So Smart and Horford. I didn't see Brown quoted. Did anyone ask Brown about it? What'd you think of Morris's comments? Did anyone ask Rozier about it? What'd you think? Now, Steven sided with him, too. But again, you're talking about the coach there, right? I still think there is this fracture on this team between the old and the young. I think that that is there. It is real. And those stories today just validated it for me. Because if Jaylen Brown had come out and said, yeah, Marcus is right. You know, we had our thing out on the road on that trip, but he's right. You know, we got to get our heads out of them. They're not on the same page. They're not. They haven't been on the same page all year, and until they fix it, it's going to be a problem.
Okay, so I think that's a fair point. Where have we heard from the kids in the last couple days? Interesting. Maybe it has. I didn't see it either, Maz. All right, so back to your thoughts, mixing this in with our Bruins stuff. Matt in Westfield on the Bees. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me on. We've had a chance recently to see most of the names that were very intriguing trade options for me for the Bruins, whether it be third line or second line against games, with games against St. Louis, a couple against Philadelphia, and Los Angeles. Los Angeles, Tyler Toffoli, Philadelphia, Wayne Simmons, and St.
Got it.
Louis.
Got it, Matt. What's your conclusion? What's your point?
Sorry. Do you think that Sweeney is reluctant to make a trade for any of these guys based on the fact that those guys in those games were nearly invisible and prices have never been higher?
Maybe, but so it doesn't have to be Tyler Toffoli, although I think he fits more of what they're looking for. It doesn't have to be Wayne Simmons. Doesn't have to be Panarin. Doesn't have to be Tarasenko. And I'm not asking for these guys. I'm asking for the next Riley Nash, the guy that I've never heard of or the guy that I'm not familiar with, who's having a good year on the third line of some team that I don't care about and is playing well and is a nice affordable cost and comes here and gives you more than the 19 freaking points that you've gotten out of Jake DeBrusk or the, I don't have it in front of me, how many freaking points has Heinen been good for this year? The 16 points that Heinen's been good for. Can you find me an upgrade on Heinen? Can you find me an upgrade, for crying out loud, can you find me an upgrade on Backes? 13 points in 45 games. Feh. Heh. Feh.
Heinen last year was in the 40s, wasn't he?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
I mean, when they let Rick Nash, well, they didn't let him go. He retired. But when they didn't replace Rick Nash, I think one of the things was that Heinen outscored him. So, okay, he took a step back. Shocker. Took a step back. He's playing on the first line, so he's got all that opportunity. Michael in Grafton, go ahead on Pastrnak.
Yeah, I think all eyes right now are on Sweeney.
He's got to do something right now, and we're going to find out what kind of sack he actually has, because I'm not only thinking about, like, this year and replacing Pastrnak, I'm thinking about Bergeron, Chara, Rask, like these guys who have been there. They need to win. They need to win now.
Okay, well, that's how ownership sort of put it to us at the Winter Classic. That's true. I don't know if they need to. I mean, Bergeron and Chara, they've got their cup. It's not like you're sitting here saying you never won with those guys. They won it. I think they want to win with those guys. So, but that's, you know, too easy to say, well, then you're giving up a first-round pick for another rental because you want to throw everything at this year to win with Chara. I think that's stupid, too. But there's some easy upgrades that should have been made a long time ago. And the focus shouldn't be on Sweeney today. I mean, it should be, but it should really be on Pastrnak, who's your leading scorer, who for a time was an MVP candidate, who accounts for 40% of your scoring, and you can't score to begin with, but 40% of it comes from him, and he can't make it to his Uber the other night. That, to me, without getting hurt and, you know, suffering a thumb injury to miss 2 to 3 weeks, that should be the – he should have the one – he should be the one being kicked around today.
And if they're telling us 2 to 3, what do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. I think they've been generally honest about their injuries.
I don't know. I feel this one's going to be longer.
I think Bergeron and Chara came back right when they said, or even before.
Surgery to repair a tendon, 2 weeks?
I don't know. You tell me.
Sweeney said assessment.
Yeah, it'll be, he'll be he didn't say he's coming back in 2 weeks.
Okay,
he said
all right.
He'll be assessed
in 2 weeks. That's right. That's exactly what he said. That's fair.
Okay.
To me, it's going to be a month.
Here's one that I can feel is starting to bubble as well. Pete on the Celtics. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. So you just talked about the Tatum one. I'm going to give you another one I think is going to become a big thing during the week. What if Kyrie Irving, which will not shock me, decides to play in the All-Star game but not maybe in the next two games? What message does that send about individualism? And how could the team even move forward after that?
Okay, get ready for it, because this is the only All-Star game where the players want to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real status. They want to go. They want to party. They want to play.
Well, again, because it's the National Branding Association. He's got that second movie to try to go and promote.
Every other league, these guys would just as soon be in Timbuktu than go to their All-Star game or their Pro Bowl. But in basketball, they want to go. Kyrie's sitting out tonight. They have back-to-backs. They're playing tomorrow night, too, right?
Yep, at home against Detroit tomorrow.
Any word on his status for tomorrow night at home against Detroit?
Nope. So they've only ruled out tonight, right?
Correct.
So I heard there's a chance he may play tomorrow. So let's see how that goes, but I also think they go hand in hand.
If he plays the All-Star game, he better play tomorrow night.
Well, see, I think he wants to play tomorrow night because he wants to go to the All-Star game.
It's then that he has to save face. He's got to lay the groundwork to go play in that All-Star
game. But you know, it almost doesn't matter if he plays in the All-Star game. It almost, it's just about if he goes.
You're going to, I don't know.
That whole thing is just about schmoozing and lining up on free agent acquisitions and everything else anyway.
No, I think it's about even more than that.
You think? I don't think it's about the plan. I think it's about being there.
I think it's about being on the court. Does he actually care about playing? I don't know, but he wants to be on the floor with that whole thing. I think. I don't know. They all
get to play with Daddy LeBron again.
I mean, you tell me. No. Do stars miss that game? Don't they all pretty much play, no, don't they?
All, yeah. They all play.
They all play. They all want to play. They want to play.
I mean, if I were the Celtics, I would insist that he doesn't play.
Get ready for that.
After this, a sprained knee, all of a sudden he's back out there and, you know, he's going to play in the All-Star game?
Do you think the fiance wants to hear that? You can't play in the All-Star game. Oh, well, then I'm going to leave July 1st. Bye.
And LeBron picked him with his second pick.
And if the Celtics ever told him no, he'd sit out the rest of the season with a knee injury like he did last year.
Okay. Joe and Swampscott on Pastrnak, your thoughts?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Mike, first of all, Pastrnak's 19% of the Bruins scoring, not 40.
Why?
That's okay. We'll buy that.
Hold on. If he has 66 points and they've scored 162 goals, how is it not 40%?
No, you take the goals, Mike, 31, and divide that into it. If you take the total points, you got to take the total points of the Bruins, divide it, then multiply it out.
Stop. Is that true?
No, he has factored in 66 goals is the point. Okay, that's the point. Now, I know there were two assists on goals, but he alone has factored in on 66 of their goals, 40%.
66 of the 162. I think we have that
no,
right.
No, you got it right.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
All right, hello? Yeah, okay. So my second thing, Mike, is that you don't want to get a guy like David Backus, right? So David Backus, he has a year left plus one. His buyout's about 1.3. So why wouldn't you make a deal, give two draft picks and two to St. Louis, who's going to bomb in about four more games, and get Tarasenko up here?
Okay, do you understand what you have to get for Tarasenko? Dude, and I think Backus has more time than one and one. This isn't. There's no options there. The NHL is not like the NBA with all this funky stuff. It's a It was a five times six, right?
Yeah, it was 5 for 30. He's got 2 more years left.
Okay, then that's it. You can buy it out. I think it's more expensive than you said it is. But to get Tarasenko, you're talking McAvoy, DeBrusk. You're talking about guys you don't want to give up. You want to give up McAvoy for Tarasenko?
No.
No, I don't want to give up McAvoy for anything. We continue with your thoughts. The latest Celtics drama. There's always some. Bruins drama. Now we have Bruins drama. Their leading scorer, a guy that accounts for, 40% of their scoring, injured himself walking to the...
Transportation
after a dinner at...
Sponsorship dinner.
11:30 at night. 11:30.
Well, the Euros eat late.
What time did you get home last night, honey?
11:30.
I read that. It's like, oh.
Also, young Trent Frederick turned 21 yesterday, so if they're still out Sunday, turns midnight. I don't know. You think there was maybe a little bit more going on there, too?
His 21st birthday. Anyway.
Huh.
What time were you home?
About 11:30.
What was that?
About 11:30.
What time? 3.
Why is 21 significant, Murray? I don't get it.
Anyway, so there's the Pastrnak drama, the Celtics drama. We're going to do a little Red Sox minute coming up. And it's going to be more than a minute. This was Jimmy's idea yesterday, but I think it's good. We're going to play 10 questions with Maz on the Red Sox.
And we're going to create some Red Sox drama.
Right. 10 questions on the Sox with Maz right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, you can smell it in the air all the way from Walla Walla, Washington to Kalamazoo. Baseball's back. So let's cheer and woo and raise a hullabaloo, everyone, with 10 questions from Tony Mann.
Maybe we're having big boy withdrawal. This is usually the big boy 10 questions segment. But Red Sox pitchers and catchers reported today. Did you know that, Boston? And so let's do a little baseball 10 questions.
It really is unbelievable, right?
I mean, talk about...
Under the radar.
Yes, sir. But either way, so Maz obviously stars in the highly rated Baseball Reporters program. Which come your way starting with the opening day or the first week probably, right?
The last week of March. Yeah, season opens on the 28th this year.
So last week of March begins the Baseball Reporters with Maz and Murray. Don't want to leave him out. And Jimmy Stewart. So, Murray, feel free to weigh in here because you're the co-star, if you will, of the Baseball Reporters.
Oh, yep. Nice.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes. Same drill to stay on time, right? Jimmy, give me some options. When do pitchers and catchers report? Do you know the day?
Yeah.
When? What is it?
I have nothing to prove to you.
That was a caller who called up to say baseball still matters in this town. It's still the most, it's the number one sport in town. And I asked him when pitchers and catchers report. He said, I don't know. Good. Next. You hate the Patriots. I hear that, Luke. I hear that from everyone. Okay, it's true. Go. Next. You hate the Celtics. Grow up, Luke. Come on. You're better than that. I'm sure there's more. Go. Welcome to the program, Josh. What do you have? That sounded sarcastic. Go.
Me.
Excellent. Next.
Brady is the GOAT. Goat. I get it.
I think Maz is sick of the nickname.
Oh, God. Because I'd trade anybody.
I'm just telling you.
I mean, including anybody.
All right, hit him, Jimmy.
Because I'd trade anybody.
I'm just telling you.
I mean, including anybody.
Number 10, Chris Sale has averaged 14 wins a season in his career. That's what he averages, 14 wins. Last year he won 12, okay, with an amazing ERA of 2-11, and he got hurt. Are you over under 14 wins on Chris Sale this year?
Okay, in honor of Bedard, this was a tough one. I mean, on the one hand, the guy's got ability. On the other, under. Under!
Yeah, under. He'll be 30 a few days into the season. Shoulder's going to continue to be an issue. He's going to break down again late in the summer. 12 wins again, ERA around 3.5.
Hold on, you understand it's his contract year. He's been underpaid for a long, long time. This is his chance. This is his chance to make good and make all that money back that he's left on the table the last couple of years.
I do, and I think this is one of the rare guys who's wired differently. I do. I don't know if it's a huge difference for him. I don't.
Okay, next. When do pitchers and catchers report? Do you know the day?
Yeah.
When? What is it?
I have nothing to prove to you.
Okay, number nine. 10 questions, 10 Red Sox questions with Maz. Number nine, who is the fattest, most out-of-shape player you ever saw report the first day of spring training?
It's a toughie. There's some good candidates. Curt Schilling, 2008. After that whole ankle thing, seriously, he wasn't, I mean, in his defense, he wasn't able to work out. But frankly, I don't think it would have mattered. It was a winter-long bender. He came in huge that year. Huge. He looked like he ate Pedroia during the winter. He showed up. I wrote that, and he got pissed at me. He was pissed. Ha! I'll never forget it, but he was gigantic.
Yeah, there are good candidates, but it's Pablo Sandoval 3 years ago, coming off that terrible first season. Shows up year two, that gut bursting out of his shirt. There was that picture in the Globe where he's trying to throw that pitch. His stomach's just hanging out. Maybe the most unprofessional athlete in this city's history.
Oh, one of the most unprofessional pitchers you'll ever see.
Oh, yeah, he was flabby.
The picture of him throwing from third base with the gut.
Saw the stretch marks and everything.
Spilling out of those shorts. Oh, that was a great picture, Murray. Excellent one. Next. Welcome to the program, Josh. What do you have? Okay, number eight, if you could only have one of these players going forward, take your pick. Xander Bogaerts or Andrew Benintendi?
Bogaerts, because I think the upside is higher. Benintendi's a good player. I don't know if he'll ever be great. He had two home runs after the All-Star break last year, and the position's a factor, too. Bogaerts at the position can give you more than average. Benintendi, to me, ultimately might be an average player.
I say Benintendi, considering how well he played in the playoffs defensively. I now can say his defense is kind of underrated. He actually hit for better average than Bogaerts, and he's got enough pop, I think, to get to 25, 30 home runs. And he brings a cockiness that I like to the team.
So you like that. How do you feel about Benintendi's cockiness, Maz?
Oh, I hate it. Please. I mean, like, for a guy, I still don't know what he's really accomplished individually. I mean, he's a good player, but he runs the bases like his hair's on fire, for crying out loud. I think he's overrated.
Next.
Brady is the GOAT. GOAT, 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 GOAT. I get it.
Number seven. Everyone is still unsure whether or not Dustin Pedroia will make it back. Should we want him to make it back? Do you want him on this team?
Yes. Ultimately, I do, yes. Because at the end of the day, do you really want the next Ian Kinsler out there playing second base, potentially blowing the World Series like he did last year?
What's wrong with Nunez?
Now, I don't think Nunez is an everyday second baseman. I don't think Brock Holt is either. I mean, they clearly didn't think those guys were the answer because they went out and got, Kinsler.
Okay, but look. I've always thought Dustin Pedroia is a winner and part of the winning solution and da-da-da-da-da, but they won without him. They clearly don't need him to get that thing going inside there to be competitive. They don't need him to be there. And I don't know, feels like he's been part of the problem. I mean, wasn't he part of that group that stood up against David Price against Eckersley on the plane that day?
He was. I still don't think that. I mean, my opinion of Pedroia over the years hasn't changed a lot. I think he's a follower. I don't think he's a leader. Feels to me now with J.D. Martinez in there, they get the right structure. And so I'd rather have Pedroia than not. Now, that said, do I think he's going to make it? Nope.
Yeah, I think he's cooked. And even if he can play, there's going to be limited range defensively because of that knee. But I'm with Maz. I think you need him because of depth at second base. Because otherwise, it's Holt, Nunez, Sue Lin, maybe Marco Hernandez, right? Is he still around? So I think you need him.
I've always been a Pedroia supporter. I'm sort of done. 10 Red Sox questions with Maz continues. You hate the Patriot. I hear that. I hear that from everyone. Number six. If you could have only one of these two players going forward, the next 3 years, I'll put a timestamp on it. Only one of these two, the next 3 years, take your pick, Anthony. J.D. Martinez or Giancarlo Stanton?
Yeah, this is a killer.
Thank you.
3 years, J.D. Martinez. Anything more, Stanton. Stanton. Anything more, Stanton.
So, but the next three, you've totally flipped.
Well, because he can hit. I mean, I was wrong about how good he is in the batter's box. In the batter's box, the guy's elite. He's terrific. I got to admit that.
The playoffs proved everything. It's J.D. Martinez. The playoffs weren't too big for him. And Stanton pressed at every at-bat in that series against the Red Sox, swinging out of his ass at anything that came at him, especially if it was out of the strike zone. I was wrong on J.D. Martinez. Maz was wrong on J.D. Martinez.
I never realized Stanton was such a mistake hitter. I never realized that. It's got to be over the plate or he can't hit it.
I want it noted on the record that I have grown as a human being.
That does show some growth. Next. You hate the Celtics. Grow up, Luke. Come on. You're better than that. Number five. Got to do a tool bag question.
Oh, of course.
Who's the biggest tool bag on the Red Sox currently?
Murray, you go first. Go.
It's David Price. Come on. Just because he got over the playoff hump finally, and he holds the trump card now, let's not pretend he still doesn't hate it here, and he hates everything about the Boston experience outside of his teammates in that clubhouse. It's David Price.
I wanted Murray to go first because I had two. And in the event that he offered one, I was going to give you the other one. And Wright is two. The two of them. Completely unreliable. I'm so sick of them. They're both tool bags.
Next.
Because I'd trade anybody.
I'm just telling you.
I mean, including anybody.
Excellent. To show we have another side, a positive side, who's your favorite Red Sox right now?
Nathan Eovaldi. I mean, how do you not pick Nathan Eovaldi?
That's who I picked.
After that performance last October, I got a couple other guys on the list, too. So let's see who Murray names.
I went with a manager. I went with Alex Cora because he had his finger on the pulse last year. I love the job that he did. And like Benintendi, I love the cockiness. I think that that's what made the difference there. I love Cora.
Not just Eovaldi and what he did and how he performed. I love the way he carried himself. He was just sort of a quiet, let it roll off his back, or, you know, he didn't do that thing when who was the Jack Wagon in Houston who posted the Instagram?
Bregman. Alex Bregman.
Bregman giving up home runs. He barely said anything about it and then just went out there and shoved it down their throats.
102 miles per hour.
So Eovaldi's got to be mine. Who else is on your list?
Steve Pierce, Rick Porcello. I know what those guys are. They show up, they play, that's it.
Next. When did pitchers and catchers report? Do you know the day?
Yeah.
When? What is it?
I have nothing to prove to you.
Number three, bonus tool bag question. Who's the biggest tool bag in Major League Baseball right now? Could be player, manager, front office, media guy. Biggest tool bag right now in Major League Baseball.
I think it's a runaway. Manny Machado, to me, is number one. Unsigned, complete pain in the ass, does despicable things on the field, tool bag.
I'm going to go with John Heyman, who I think is the epitome of the baseball nana that covers the sport and gets all defensive about it when you dare say that it's dying and needs to be changed. And he's chirping about Edelman winning the MVP when the Super Bowl wrapped up. I can't stand baseball nanas. And John Heyman is just, he's the microcosm of all of that.
To me, it's obvious. Matt Chatham.
Brady is the GOAT. GOAT. I get it.
Number two, you mentioned him before. What's next for David Price? This is the question. What's next for Price? Does he go back to being a loser? Or was last year crosses the threshold and now this is the new normal for him? And what does the trump card look like?
So I think it's new normal. I think that, you know, what you're going to have is a calmer, more relaxed guy who pitches more consistently. Now, again, does that mean he'll succeed every October? No. But I think that overall you're going to see a more relaxed, easygoing guy, and he's going to pitch more consistently as a result of it. That's what I think.
That's the new normal. He's beaten us. He's beaten all the doubters. Suck it, haters. And the trump card, I think it looks like picture of David Price doing like a Fortnite dance, you know, because he obviously loves Fortnite, so it's him being like, suck it, haters.
I hope we got that. Next.
Because I'd trade anybody.
I'm just telling you.
I mean, including anybody.
That covers it. Last question. What's the World Series matchup you're rooting for? And to take out the Red Sox, or you don't have to take out the Red Sox, but what would be a great World Series matchup?
Yankees-Cubs. Yankees-Cubs would be awesome. I might not leave my house for 10 days if that happens. Yankees-Cubs.
It's the one that I wish we got last year. Red Sox Brewers.
Oh, thank you.
Because that was good for us ratings-wise, oh, yes. Obviously. It brought us into the fall, and the Brewers wouldn't beat the Red Sox, so the schadenfreude would be delicious.
This year they might. This year they might. Yeah, last year no one was beating the Red Sox, in hindsight. You can look back and say they were winning. This year might be different.
Brewers.
The Brew Crew.
Please.
Oh, that would be so tasty.
Oh, God, I want to puke. Give me the Yankees and the Cubs, and I'm interested.
That concludes 10 questions with... We have a few follow-up baseball items, but we'll get back to your phones on the Bruins and Pastrnak, stumbly there, and the latest Selds drama, and your calls right after Murray's update. In case you don't know what I'm talking about with Pastrnak, listen to this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You have to turn the page, too, and focus on what's in front of us in 2019. Ball clubs that we're going to be playing are going to feel differently about playing us. We're going to have a bit of a target on our back, and we're expecting to get everyone's best game every night, and we're going to have to play our best to stay where we want to stay. So it's extremely difficult to win one, and then, you know, trying to win two in a row is just makes it that much harder. Not only does it take luck and a good clubhouse and all of those leadership and all of those things, it's difficult. And to do it back-to-back years is just all the harder. But it's not anything that can't be done.
Hey, Rick Porcello down in Fort Myers today. as the Red Sox turn the page and try and repeat. Two other Red Sox items, and we'll get to your calls, I promise. One relates to Mookie Betts. What stood out to you about that, Mazur?
So, yeah, I'll make this quick, but Mookie Betts is going to bat second this year, in case people forget that over the winter, the Red Sox announced they're going to move him down in the batting order, and I don't know why I didn't connect this earlier, but at the same time, the Red Sox came to an agreement with him to avoid an arbitration hearing and paid him $20 million a year.
So just to interject, they also announced the fact that he's going to hit in second, like, at like the baseball dinner or something. Like really,
I think it was in December.
Really early. Maybe the winter meetings. Right, right. It was that. That's when it was. The, like not this week, not when they got to Fort Myers. They announced it in December.
2 months ago.
Okay, go ahead.
2 months ago they announced it. And then basically a month later they came to terms for the first time. Mookie Betts did not, you know, take them to the wall on a contract negotiation. The Red Sox gave him $20 million, which for a player of his service time is the highest ever. Okay, so the idea that it was quote-unquote a negotiation, Mookie won it, first of all. Secondly, I don't know, I connect dots, and I look at it and say, all right, Mookie, you want to hit second, you want more? Fine, but you know what? Just work with us on the contract a little, okay? Work with us. So they made him a good offer, and they didn't go to a hearing in arbitration. I'm wondering if the two things are linked.
It was all part of the same negotiation.
Feels that way. Right? Feels that way. So, you know, all right, Mookie, no problem. We'll accommodate you. We're going to keep you happy. They are going to bend over backwards and maybe even forwards to keep Mookie Betts happy because they want to sign him to a long-term deal, and they should want to sign him to a long-term deal. He's up after next season, meaning 2020. Okay, not 2019. 2020, he's up. It is number one on their list of things that they're probably going to have to do is to somehow keep Mookie Betts.
Okay, secondly, thought on the smart way to build a bullpen or just the closer situation with the Red Sox.
So there are a couple conflicting things out there today. One, Alex Speer had an item in the Globe, and obviously Alex Speer has a good relationship with John Henry, where he highlighted all of the bullpen signings from a year ago and who the most effective guys were, and none of the high-priced guys fell into the category of most effective pitchers. Okay, so the point being, names don't build a bullpen, pitchers do, which is all well and good. And yet, in the same breath, Peter Abraham of the Globe wrote a story where he outlined the Red Sox opening day roster. He has Craig Kimbrell in the bullpen. Well, so, and I know it's not the same guy writing the story, but the point being, well, which one is it? Like, you know, you have two guys around the team there, and on the one hand, it feels to me like Abraham is saying, well, let's assume they get Kimbrell back on a one-year, $10 million deal or something of the like, and it makes sense to put him in that bullpen. We'll assume Kimbrell's the closer. I don't want Kimbrell in that bullpen. I'm done with Craig Kimbrell. But I sort of, you can't have it both ways. You can't sit here as a fan and say, well, they'll figure it out. They figured it out last year.
Let's stick with the media. You can't have it both ways and say they're smart to sign him or they're smart to let it go, because that's what's going to happen. Whatever they do with Kimbrell, if someone else signs him, you'll hear the Red Sox guys go, see, stupid, that team's stupid, overpaying. You don't have to overpay for the bullpen, stupid. But if the Sox sign him, you'll hear, you know, what a smart move. You can't go into the year without a closer. They had to do what they had to do. Money shouldn't be an object. I guarantee you that's going
to
be the commentary.
I mean, that's where it feels like it's heading. I saw that and said, well, wait a minute.
Declare it now. Is it smart to bring him back at that money or not?
No. I'm okay with them going without Craig Kimbrell. I'm okay with that. I don't want Craig Kimbrell anywhere near a playoff game. I've decided that. I'm done with that. We saw what it looks like. No. And if it comes down to it, Chris Sale's going to close Game 7 of the World Series, or Nathan Eovaldi's going to come in and pitch six innings in relief, whatever it is. I don't want Kimbrell. I'm done with it. If they want to fly by the seat of their pants on the bullpen, that's fine. Okay, I'm all right with that, because they'll figure something out. But the idea that it isn't going to matter until October, the regular season in baseball matters.
Okay, Celtics, Pastrnak and the Bruins, and our Red Sox thoughts. Back to you as promised. Tommy in the car on Pastrnak. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hey, Mike, I got a couple of things. I watched you last night with DJ Bean talking about what a terrible trade maker Don Sweeney is.
Yes.
And, I'm just curious, Mike. You said no, a third line type of player. Mike, I think the opposite. I agree with you on Sweeney. He worries me, Mike. He'll go out and get a third line player, and he'll say, "Oh yeah, this will be a top six winger." Mike, I don't trust him. And they got a 6-game, 5-game road trip coming up, Mike. I think they could easily, by the end of the road trip, line up in the wild card spot, if not lower.
Okay, so wild card spot doesn't kill you. That means you go to the Metropolitan. It might actually be better for you. But I'd be surprised if they fall that far. Like you said it before, was it 8 points clear?
Yeah, they're 8 points ahead of Carolina. Yeah.
I mean, they really shouldn't lose that lead in 3-4 weeks, however long Pastrnak's out. They shouldn't lose that lead. The bigger concern with Pastrnak and the injury is if he comes back and the thumb still bothers, because those hand injuries, man, those linger.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
Baseball, it's notorious. And I don't know about hockey, but
thumbs are bad too, notoriously. Thumbs are bad.
Okay, so that like that my concern is what he looks like when he comes back. And you shouldn't lose your spot there. In terms of Sweeney and the trades, I'd be scared too. But you still gotta do it. You know, it's the NHL. Your team has a clear need, and it's not even that complicated a need. You need depth scoring. So you know, I'm not even asking for them to trade for a top six guy. I'm asking for a bottom six guy, which they should be out there, and it should be relatively affordable. But just because Sweeney has a batting average in these trades of like 100 or a .150, you still got to line up and do it. You still have to, I feel this way about a bad field goal kicker. If you have a bad field goal kicker and you're sitting there from a 44-yard, that you got to line up and kick. It's
Steven Gostkowski in the playoffs?
It's the NFL. Yeah, this isn't high school. You can't go for it on 4th and 8 at the 30-yard line. Even if you have a sucky field goal kicker, it's the NFL. You have to kick. If you're on 3rd and 8 and you have a horrible quarterback, I'm sorry, you have to drop back and throw. It's the NFL. As much problems as Sweeney, if you understand this analogy, as much problems as he's had at the trade deadline or pulling these trades, they have a need, they have tons of cap room, they have the assets, he still has to make a trade.
Yeah, you can't be gun-shy about it.
Got to do it.
And the other thing is, in theory, I mean, nobody should be that bad at trades. Like anybody who spent a lifetime in hockey the way he has. Sooner or later, you got to get one right.
Well, as you say, he's due. Like that's the optimistic way to look at it, which we rarely do. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I met with David yesterday morning. He was extremely upset, disappointed. He obviously feels like he let everybody down, despite it being an accident. And I was apologetic, and was heartfelt in trying to explain that an accident happened. And I said the same thing to him, like they do.
Don Sweeney on David Pastrnak. If you haven't heard. Went out to a sponsorship dinner with several of his teammates on Sunday night. This is according to the team's Twitter account. They let us know this. Pastrnak and several of his teammates attended a sponsorship dinner on Sunday night at about 11:30 while walking to his transportation. Pastrnak fell and injured his left thumb. Team will know better in 2 weeks, but Pastrnak expected to return and play this season. He had a procedure for a injured tendon, and so they'll reevaluate in 2 weeks. He's sort of laughing and chuckling because it feels like he had too many and slipped and fell to the car and ha ha ha. It's really not that funny of a story. He accounts for 40% of your scoring. He's involved in 40% of your scoring. You struggle to score. You can't score other than 3 or 4 guys. That's it. Power play or 3 or 4 guys of that, or you're not scoring. And he's the lead dog on all of that. And he can't make it to the Uber on a Sunday night. And Don Sweeney there, strikes the right tone, not like he's losing his mind or anything, but just the fact that they released the details the way that they did. I mean, they've sort of led a horse to water, if you will.
See, I'm chuckling, not because it's funny, because of the way it's written. He fell. What does that mean? He fell.
Well, at the very least, it means that they're pissed off. For the way that they described this, they could cover this.
They have to let us know that.
Right.
He's 21 years old. What do you mean he fell? You know who falls? Like 90-year-olds. Those people fall because they don't have the same balance and equilibrium. This is a world-class athlete, 21 years old. He fell? No. He was sauced, and he staggered and stumbled and wiped out.
We don't know that.
Okay.
Let's just be clear, we don't know
that. Fine, this is my personal opinion.
Well, it's just hard not to.
Yeah, because like masses, who falls? The elderly and drunks.
When they give you that detail, it's hard not to think that. Okay,
I mean, it's got to be something
no
like
idea.
That.
Let's just, but I mean,
in the interest of fairness.
Being somewhat fair.
Okay, I get it. But I'm telling you, what do you think happened?
I'm not willing to go there. I'm not willing to cast that aspersion. I don't care if he's drinking apple juice. Make it to the Uber, dude. You're their leading scorer by far. Or, not by far, but you account for... If you guys, meaning you, Bergeron and Marchand, aren't scoring, the team's not scoring. So make it to the car. I don't care if you had an ice cream sundae. Make it to the car and don't break your thumb, idiot.
That Bruin, that commercial by that team clipped you. I'd pull down those pants right now. It's smooth like a Ken doll.
Seriously, though.
Why? I'm just being careful, that's all.
So come on, I didn't ask you what happened. I asked you what do you think
What's
happened.
What's wrong with me being careful?
Boo.
Can I be careful for once, please? Just let me be careful.
No.
Just let me be careful, please.
Nope.
Come on, let me be careful.
Mike, I am allowing you to facilitate a discussion
here.
Thank
you. Thank you.
I mean, they are too young, though.
Chicken! The team is leading you to a certain direction, that's for sure. So, I mean, if...
Ask more questions, Mike.
If the team didn't want us to think that it was something involving drinking or a late night, they wouldn't have told us that it was 11:30 at night after a sponsorship dinner walking to his transportation. They would have told us something else. So,
I bet you he had some of that good Czechoslovakian plum brandy.
I had to look twice that this was put out there by the official...
Slivovitz, a type of rakia made of distilled fermented plum juice. It is sometimes referred to as plum brandy.
Stop.
Yeah, that's the official drink of Czechoslovakia. I had to look twice that this was put out there by the Bruins official Twitter because it's so descriptive. Again, like, the only thing that's missing is parenthetically, you know what happened at the dinner. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
All right, so there you go. There's the reset on that. We've also been talking Celtics. Apparently, reportedly, Jason Tatum would be okay being traded to New Orleans because he'd be the face of a franchise, which is what he might want. Ryan and Quincy, your thoughts on that?
Hey, what's up, boys? So, actually, I don't have a problem with it just because Tatum has said three times that he literally just wants to play and win for whoever wants him. So, if he keeps on hearing about Danny trading him, then why the heck would he feel that here? On the court, he's a winning player. He's been the second most consistent guy we've had all year from the eye test and analytics. So, I mean, he's done all the right things. He's said the right things. He's backed Kyrie. So, I think we should cut that he doesn't want to win talk when the only proof otherwise is speculation.
Okay, so, I mean, that's fair. That's all a fair point, Ryan. The thing is, does he want to go and win in New Orleans, or he just want to go somewhere and get triple-doubles and be the face of a franchise, even though does he really think he can win down there?
Well, see, so that's the thing to me. It's
because
you
can't win down there.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, Tatum doesn't have any control over it. So if this is his way of rationalizing and reconciling it, fine. I get it. I'm just telling you, if it were me and you are given the choice...
To be the number three here or the number one in freaking New Orleans?
Stay on the championship team. Now, again, he's not going to have a call on this, but he'd be okay with it? I wouldn't be okay with that if I were a player. You're going to bury me in some place like that?
I would not be okay being the best player in New Orleans on a losing team. If it's the best player on a team that's a championship contender, fine, sure. I don't think it's possible in New Orleans. I think that's one of those places where it's never going to happen there. Alan in Florida on our Red Sox conversation. Hi, Alan.
Yes, hi. Before I do, I just wanted to know, I didn't watch the game Saturday night. When they blew the 28-point lead, were the fans out there yelling, defense, defense? I was just wondering.
They were booing, Alan. Go ahead. What's your thought on the
really?
Sox?
Booing, really, in an NBA game. Fabulous. Okay. You know, Maz, I think maybe you should really take up the NBA. Every single thing you just said about the Red Sox, it's completely ridiculous.
Wrong.
You don't want Kimbrel, but you don't want a closer. And, all of a sudden, Kimbrel had a little bad outing. He didn't do well in the playoffs. Of course you want him closing. The Yankees have four closers. The Red Sox had none, but I don't want him. And I take Stanton, who's been injured every single year of his career over J.D. Martinez. Of course I would, because you guys all made a mistake. Remember me last year saying, I want to bet him 35 home runs? Remember that? And now you don't want Benintendi. Oh, no, he's overrated because he's a little arrogant. You want a little arrogance. That guy's going to be...
So hold on, Alan. Alan, the Benintendi thing was in a vacuum. Who would you rather... You could only have one player going forward, Bogarts or Benintendi. Who are you taking?
Bogart.
Okay.
That was the question.
You agree with Mass?
No, I want them both.
Okay, but that wasn't the question.
That's not what the question was, Alan. You have to play by the rules.
Okay, well, by the rules. Who do I want? Kimbrel closing or Eovaldi or Bonds? I want Kimbrel.
Okay, great. So we've established, though, that you are worried about the Yankees because you did rattle off the bullpen there. So I'm happy to see that's a sign of growth on your part, Alan.
And by the way, you said you'd take J.D. Martinez over Stanton now. You've backtracked on that.
Correct. And again, I was going to say the other thing is he got that wrong. For 3 years, as how it was framed, I would take J.D. Martinez over Stanton. 5 years, I would take Stanton over J.D. Martinez.
But only because of age.
Correct.
That's the only, you know, we've acknowledged and come around to the fact that J.D. Martinez is a better hitter than Giancarlo Stanton.
He is.
We've got Mike in Franklin. Now before on the Celtics, Gary Washburn wrote something that felt like he was sort of parsing words, which aggravated us. Washburn wrote today that never has Brad Stevens had such a star-studded team with so many personal but not selfish agendas. And we say, what's the difference? Are they trying to parse words there to brush over or gloss over what is a team that is fractured of individuals who are selfish? So Mike in Franklin has a thought on that. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, guys, I think it's actually a little bit more serious than that. I mean, you think about selfish, that's kind of like saying, you know, give me the ball so I can put up my numbers. Personal issues is more like, get away from me. I hate your stupid face. Like, I don't think they like each other. And a great example of that is Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown. I'm not sure if any of you have noticed, but Jaylen Brown doesn't pass Gordon Hayward the ball. I mean, ever.
Mike,
I was actually at the game.
Did you call yesterday? Saturday.
No, I did not.
Someone else said, go ahead.
Yeah, but I was actually at the game Saturday. I was sitting about 10 rows behind the bench. Gordon Hayward, he had some play. He came over, was high-fiving everybody. Jaylen Brown just looked at him, walked away, sat at the end of the bench. That was it. No high fives, nothing.
Oh, I'd love to go see that. Let's go, like, Zapruder film the tape, Jimmy. Can we get some internal garden video footage, security footage? I want to see this.
I'll be over there tomorrow night. We'll see.
There's something to watch tonight in Philly.
How many guys have said, we have to root for each other, we have to be there for each other, we have to take joy in the other's success? When Stevens was crediting the Clippers the other night, you could see that they're taking joy in each other's success. How many guys have pointed this out for you to say, no, there's guys in there who are actually rooting against each other? Now, look, we're doing this on NBC Sports Boston. I think Vinny just put this up. A picture of Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward low-fiving each other. Low-fiving. This is against Brooklyn, so when would this have been?
It's going to be a couple of weeks anyway.
So it's not a recent picture, but there is Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward drawing skin. Jaylen Brown's looking away, and it's a low five, not a high five, and they're not smiling.
The look on Brown's face is like, this dude.
So now we're turning a positive into a negative. I don't know what
See, Felga, they really like each other.
I'm just telling you. They obviously don't. They obviously are not pulling for each other because they keep mentioning it.
Look, that's 2 days in a row someone has said that. And again, I'm not telling you the callers are right. But you know what? I'm going to start paying attention to it. Because to me, there's something there. And the whole, you know, personal versus selfish thing, sorry. The way it was phrased in the goal was personal agenda versus, you know, not selfish. Right. Personal agenda is selfish. We weren't talking about, you know, someone having personal reasons or a personal issue.
Right.
It was a personal agenda. Personal agenda and selfish agendas are the same thing to me.
And the team has not been able to figure it out from day one.
No, from the very beginning, they've had this problem.
Okay, so we continue with your Celtics thoughts, your Pastrnak thoughts. We got to do some Patriots. We haven't done Patriots in all week, really. It's a serious Patriots conversation. And we're going to do it based on Ben Volen column today about what you want or what you think the Patriots should be doing this offseason. We'll get to that right after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.